Here's our Blue Jays and MLB analyst, Steve Phillips. What's happening, Steve?
Well, I tell you what, you guys, the knowledge you're spewing out right now is amazing to me. I mean, seriously, you guys are music aficionados.
Yeah, it's really impressive stuff. We like to pat ourselves on the back, but it's even better when guys like you do it. Even if it is sarcastic, we'll take it. We'll take anything we can get, Steve. You know how radio guys are.
I get it, guys.
Absolutely. So I want to play this clip quickly. I know you've heard it, but for the audience, if you haven't, Marcus Stroman gave up a couple of solo shots, but his numbers have been solid this year. His name's been out in the rumor mill forever, and he was asked about all the rumors and whether or not he believes he'll be here beyond July, and here's what Stroman said postgame.
Seems like everybody's saying I'm not going to be, so I don't know. Like I said, I'm doing everything in my power to keep all of that out of my head. The more I'm going to spend thinking about that, the more it's going to take away from me on the field, so I'm just trying to literally put that at the back of my head and not even think about it.
Well, I think he is probably thinking of it. It's human nature, but his numbers would indicate that it isn't affecting him on the mound. I think he's been handling the situation pretty well, Steve. What do you think?
Oh, I got to tell you, like, I hardly know who he is anymore. He sounds like this mature, controlled guy, thoughtful. And you know, I think that what happens a lot of times with players is that they fight it, right? They fight things, and then they get to a place of acceptance that they start to understand there are some things they can control and some things they can't. It's taken Marcus a little bit longer, and the other part of it for him is, you know, he likes to create a villain in order to get energy. He needs a chip on his shoulder and a reason to say to go after somebody, and the organization's been sort of that easy target for him with arbitration and you know, some of the struggles and all of that, not getting a contract extension, and you know, a reasonable person would think, yeah, I don't know that I'd give him a contract extension because he's not been a predictably good pitcher. He's had ups and downs. He's had injuries. And so, you know, you have to be somewhat concerned. But I really am so impressed that he's kind of gotten to that place of accepting that I can't control the outside. I can only control what I focus on. And I know I need boundaries and I need blinders to keep that stuff out. Then I get asked about it, and I don't really want to talk about it because I don't ever want to let it in. And he's handling it very, very well. So I'm really impressed by it. He deserves some credit for and recognition for that.
Well, based on his numbers, again, they've been solid. He's got like a 3.23 ERA. His strikeout-to-walk ratio has been pretty good. He's given them innings. If it gets to a point, I believe it will. I think he understands the writing's on the wall. He knows he's not going to be here. What kind of market do you expect for a guy like Stroman?
You know, I think it really depends. If Max Scherzer and or Trevor Bauer are available, then I think Stroman's market is a little bit less than otherwise. If Scherzer's not getting traded, if Bauer's not getting traded, then Stroman becomes a very appealing guy and really may lead the starting pitching class that is out there available to trade deadline. You know, maybe Bumgarner will be out there, but I mean, Bumgarner will definitely be out there. But I look at him and think, okay, he's aging a bit. You know, in fact, not chronologically, just in pitching. His stuff is diminished. His fastball has dropped off. He's not the same guy he once was. And people are intrigued by what he did in the postseason several years ago, but that's not the same guy's pitching today. He doesn't have the same stuff, doesn't have the same approach. So Stroman may end up being the lead guy if it's not Scherzer and Bauer. So I think from the Blue Jays' perspective, you know, they've got a couple of choices. They can try to go out early and leave teams who may have interest in Scherzer and Bauer to a point of uncertainty. Like, we don't know if those guys are going to be available. So if you want Stroman, you better get them now. That way you create a sense of urgency because if they lose out on them, then, you know, you might be dealing with some of the lesser guys that could end up being available. Or you wait. And you play it out, and you see if Scherzer and Bauer are there, let them go off the board, and then you really push your guy. As the if you lose him, you're not going to get anybody, and try to build market that way. So I think that they have the right to expect to get, you know, a one top prospect and maybe a secondary guy. You know, I don't think it'll be an organization's best prospect in return, but, you know, if they have three or four guys at the top, they'll probably get one of the lesser top flight guys and then a second-type prospect back in a deal.
Steve, we were talking in the last hour about the Blue Jays' success or lack of it this year. There's some real scary numbers just basically surrounding the team. But, you know, if you had a crystal ball, you think this team gets to 60 wins, or is it in mid-50s? Like, when you're looking at it, and with the possible moving out of guys like Stroman, like, is this scorched earth?
Yeah, I think it is. The likelihood is they move Stroman, maybe Sanchez, although, you know, he's got to have to prove to a team out there that if they make a deal for him, that, to be honest, he'd be a guy for a player to be named later, and then that player to be named later is determined based on whether he stays healthy or not. For the team that he were to go to. But Giles, if they move Piacini, you know, some of the more predictable guys out of the bullpen, then yeah, this got a chance to really spiral, because they don't have a lot of major league ready depth as we've seen with the Edwin Jackson usage so far. So yeah, I think it's got a chance to spiral, and I would not be shocked if they're going to lose 100 games. I don't think it'll be 110, but I think somewhere between 100 and 110 games is probably where they end up losing.
With Steve Phillips, I think if you're being an optimist, I mean, you came into the season knowing the Jays are going to lose a lot of games, you're hoping that the kids can show you something. And I think at the plate, you know, since Gurriel Jr.'s come up, he's hit very well. You know, I think they've got something there. Kevin Biggio, he struck out a lot, but he's hit for power. He's got an OPS up over 850. And Vladdy had that tough start, but we all know what Vladdy's all about. I think, you know, again, it's difficult to find positives on a team that's 21 games under 500 and has lost six in a row at home. But I think those three names in particular, Gurriel Jr., Biggio, and Vladdy Guerrero Jr., I think they can be a part of this whole ship moving forward.
No, I agree. I would love Lourdes Gurriel if he could play some infield and outfield. Now, he's playing the outfield right now. He's doing more than an adequate job. He's got four outfield assists. You know, teams are testing him to see what he can do, but he's got athleticism. He's starting to swing the bat again. You know, I think he doesn't profile necessarily as a corner outfielder where you're looking at him as a 25 to 30 homer guy. He's more of a Marwin Gonzalez for me. If I would love to be able to move him around a little, but the infield, you know, throwing is the issue, whether he can get that back under control. So, but he can play some outfield, and so I'm okay with that. I think Biggio is the future at second base. He can play some outfield too, but I love his bat. I think the strikeouts are going to come down. He's going to get this. You know, it's just a young guy that's sort of chasing a little bit. I really do like what I see. His demeanor is perfect. He doesn't get upset one way or the other. He doesn't get, you know, over aggressive with it. He'll take close pitches and knowingly take those pitches. You know, if they can get Jansen going, in some way sort of get him swinging the bat and make it feel like, you know what, okay, you know, I got a horrible start, but, you know, he's got himself on track right now, and he finished his year hitting 260, you know, for the rest of the season, and he has a 330 on base, and, you know, he can show some pop. That would make a huge difference, too. So if you could take care of catcher, third base, and potentially second base with Biggio, and Gurriel is sort of that, you know, guy you can move in a number of different places. And look, I want to keep watching Rowdy Tellez and see what that can look like. You're well on your way. That's why, for me, so Jim Bowden, who's a former Major League General Manager, and I wrote this in my column last week, he and I were on MLB Network Radio, and we negotiated a deal. He was Alex Anthopoulos in the Braves, and I was Ross Atkins in the Jays, and we brokered a deal that included Stroman, Giles, and Biagini going to Atlanta. And in return, what I was able to get back in return was Anthony Ciarte, who's a Gold Glove center fielder, because I don't think they have a center fielder right now in the Mets. So you bring him in to play center field. He could be an 7-8-9 hitter, a 1-2 hitter, table-setting guy, can run a little bit. Then you get three pitchers in return, Tuki Toussaint, Sean Newcomb, both of whom are in their bullpen right now, but are real starters. And Newcomb last year had a near-no-hitter at the big league level. And then you get Kyle Wright, one of their top prospects as well. And you can bring back three pitchers and a Gold Glove center fielder if you put Biagini, Giles, and Stroman together in a deal. That would bring in pitching prospects to go with the position player prospects, where I think they would get some balance with the depth of the organization at the two levels. That's the kind of deal I'd love to see them make.
Grappler, send that clip to Mark Shapiro. And we'll just make sure we get that deal done, because
exactly.
That makes all the sense in the world to me.
Yep.
Great stuff as always, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, guys. My pleasure.
There's Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst.